Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
You know what's incredible about this episode that we're doing, Scooby-Doo 2002?
Yes.
We were originally doing GoldenEye.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty much locked in.
Uh-huh.
We'd watched it. It was ready to go.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Then the tables turned on the polls on Patreon and Scooby-Doo broke ahead somehow.
Why'd you even put it on the list?
I don't know. I put it on there because some people were saying it. I didn't think it would actually win. Huh.
So yeah. You just heard maybe from like your window someone say Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Do you think maybe it was just a man who named his dog Scooby-Doo?
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are.
Yeah.
This movie. Mm-hmm. Leave a like if you can. If you can support us on Patreon, that'd be great. Obviously, you don't have to. Try.
Obviously, one's easier than the other currently.
Yeah, sure.
Supporting us on Patreon.
Definitely. Makes our life easier.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Where are you with the history of Scooby-Doo? You a fan of the cartoon?
No, absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those ones that was on TV in the mornings, like before school, maybe.
Sure.
And I always found it frustrating. It's one of the, you know, the classic ones where characters...
It's literally the same story every time?
It's the same story every time, and the characters on screen are searching for some clues, and you're like, well, obviously it's under the rock that is a different color from the background rocks, because that's the animation is so oddly specific and cheap that they've only... The drawing of the movable rock is different.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
And I remember hating it a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm the same with you.
But I'm aware of all the tropes.
Yes.
You know, that's...
I like the idea of it.
Yes.
And I also, I like the team and I like a lot of the characters that are in it.
Uh-huh.
But it was a thing that I would watch if there was literally nothing else on.
Yeah. But then Hanna-Barbera, the creators of Scooby-Doo, had this sort of renaissance where they did Harvey Birdman.
Yep.
And sort of these sort of more, no, I wouldn't say mature, but kind of like self-aware parodies of their old stuff.
Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Space Ghost Coast to Coast, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm.
And I guess this movie is sort of, it's not quite in that era, but it's sort of included that basket of like, hey, you remember this? We're going to make fun of it. We're all in on the joke and let's kind of have some fun with it.
It definitely feels more like a throwback, and that probably has to do with, it was a long time coming, this live action version.
Right. Uh-huh.
In the 90s, Jim Carrey was going to be Shaggy. Mike Myers was going to be in it one point. Kevin Smith was going to direct it. All of those things are the most 90s things I could have said.
But this is the most 2002 thing that's ever been.
It certainly is. I mean, the cast alone.
Yeah.
And if there's
it's
one
a good
thing,
cast.
It's a terrific cast. And every one of them, we may as well name them, because if we don't, people will be like, why didn't you name that person specifically?
Matthew Lillard is in this. The SLC Punk himself. He's in a movie called SLC Punk.
Okay.
I keep saying that.
I thought you were going to say Hacker's Own.
Oh, he's also in Hackers. Yeah. Sorry, he's also in Hackers. He's also in memes now. He's
That's
in a
right.
lot of memes.
Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yep.
Sarah Michelle Gellar, real life couple.
I was going to say Freddie Prinze Jr. of Wing Commander fame.
Oh, my God. And Matthew Lillard.
Oh, yeah.
Wing Commander fame, yeah. Linda Cardellini.
They're great.
Was terrific. Mm-hmm. Neil Fanning as the voice of Scooby-Doo. Mm-hmm. And Mark McGrath as himself.
Sugar Ray Zone.
We rehearsed that.
No, we didn't. Everything we do is spontaneous, James. How dare you?
Okay, so the reason Sugar Ray is in this...
is because it was 2002.
Yeah, but also they wanted Weezer.
They oh,
Sugar
no!
Ray. Hey, man, I have no problem with Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
And I especially like that Mark McGrath video, which what he does now, he goes on the celebrity
cameo
and he does breakups for you if you need them.
Wow.
But also...
if you're too much of a coward.
Have you seen the viral video where somebody calls him Sugar Gay? Like
yeah.
a kid and he goes mental?
Yeah.
I mean, he probably gets that a lot. I'd imagine it would add up.
Also, I just want to clarify a couple of things. One, I did enjoy this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you thought I was going to feel about this movie.
Sure.
But secondly, I'm sure there are people who are watching this video who were not born when this movie came out.
Yeah.
So they're not aware of the era that was 2002.
Mm.
This is 2002, yes, this movie. Right. Like, if you're looking at it and like, why are people dressed like this? Why is their hair like this? Why are people saying the things they're saying and acting the way they're acting? It's just all we had.
Yeah, you forget. Yeah. You don't realize when you're in it.
Exactly.
But looking back,
if there were haircuts that were just like a really sort of violent center part, and then it was long. There were haircuts where people made like 100 little spindly spikes on their head. There were people who wore like Argyle sweaters and big cargo shorts together.
Yeah,
it's just the way we lived.
It was hand in hand.
Yes,
I fucking hated this, and I know it's a throwback, and I know there's a lot of love for this.
Yes,
and it's exactly what it's supposed to be.
Yep,
you cannot fault this for being Scooby-Doo down to an absolute T.
Apparently, it's not though. It's not how it was originally intended to be.
Was like it supposed to be darker?
It was intended to be darker and sort of not R-rated, but more kind of like more an incisive parody. I think. And I feel there are touches of that. And apparently,
no.
No is the answer. Everybody apparently signed on. All the actors signed on.
It feels like that.
Expecting it to be kind of, you know how now we always get Grim fan reboots? Like, you know, there was that Grim fan reboot of Power Rangers and stuff like that. It was intended to be more like that.
Okay.
And, you know, like, it's a bunch of kids solving mysteries, but now they feel the real repercussions or whatever.
Okay,
Yeah, exactly. But then I think the tone was changed and then a lot of rewrites were happening. So it feels like it's been kind of muted a
sanitized.
Little bit. Sanitized. Yeah, sanitized, definitely. Well,
that falls in line with the person who wrote the screenplay.
James Gunn.
So, yeah, look, again, aside from the fact that there are real monsters in this, which is not really a thing in Scooby-Doo. I know it has been a thing in some different versions of, but at the end, you know,
it's always a man in a mask.
Which is how it opens at the start.
Yes.
Because at the start, they're doing the thing that happens in the cartoon.
Yes.
And again, it's exactly like it's supposed to be. And I'm like, this is exactly how I remember it, except it's people running around like a weird haunted house.
Yes.
But I'm like, nah, I don't like this.
All right.
I don't like this at all.
But did you like it when it turned and it was like, you know.
No.
They're like, when they solve that mystery, they take the mask off and then it's kind of like, we always do this, and I'm the smart girl, and I'm the dumb one who always gets captured, and I'm just moving the bags, and then when they all quit it, you didn't like that?
I didn't like that at all.
Interesting.
No, and again, I think everybody's really good in this. Full credit to Matthew Lillard for acting across from nothing for this entire thing.
Right?
There's no man in a ping pong suit in 2002 for this movie.
That's right.
It's just him going, ah! To nothing.
And well, look, and in the spirit of Hanna-Barbera cartoons of old, the CGI is very noticeable and very...
Yeah.
It's very out of place. Like, it's all sort of faded.
Yeah.
Like, it feels very kind of...
You settle into Scooby-Doo himself.
You do,
because it works, honestly.
You do.
Very good. The performance and all, I think, works. But the real monsters that appear, not good. And spoiler alert for when Scrappy-Doo turns up, which is apparently a big point of contention for this movie, because people are like, he's not the villain, he's puppy power or whatever. And then he turns into like a Hulk dog.
There's a heel turn that the people didn't like. That's interesting.
Especially when you kind of look inside the monsters' mouths, and it just doesn't
just nothingness?
Look right.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Does it depress...
I would like to talk about Scrappy-Doo then.
Let's do it.
Because that's interesting, because that's a character that I'm sure people hated when...
Because it was a later introduction, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It was like a Great Gazoo or
Poochie.
Poochie. Poochie's the perfect example.
Yeah.
But then, of course, nostalgia's caused people to go, how dare you how dare you change this guy into the villain?
Yeah.
Come on. It's characters, everyone hated this when it came out.
I did.
Everyone hated the cartoon.
To be fair, the one joke I kind of liked in this when they were like, he's not even a puppy. He's just got some kind of weird disorder where he stayed small and mean. I'm like, that's pretty funny. But here's a question for you.
I'm ready.
Does it depress you that if Scooby-Doo was real, he would be long dead by now?
Well,
Shaggy would be a man in his 40s.
He'd be a man in his late 40s, 50s.
Sure.
And he's had a long dead dog. Does that make me sad, an old man with a long dead dog? A little bit, now that you mention it. Hadn't even thought about it at all, but now you've brought it up. Yeah, thanks.
Cool.
Thanks a bunch. But also, he's a magic dog.
Yeah, well, he talks, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I just feel like this movie, and please don't ask me specifics on this because I don't have any, it doesn't make any sense. Like none of the
characters... Be specific.
No, none of the character motivations,
right.
Like the interactions between people, the plot... The villains, how there's real monsters, and it's like a diamond in a dog's chest that turns him into a Hulk dog.
Magic.
Yeah, whatever. But to me, this movie is just screaming and running and dancing and farting in whatever order for the length of it, and then it finishes. Yeah. And there's also different variations on the Scooby-Doo song throughout
There's several, isn't there? I can't tell if they're like...
Is it the same long song?
Oh, or is it maybe. Like and it just a fades series in of covers. Hour 2 hours.
Yeah.
I think it's covers, but I also didn't recognize any of the bands specifically. And I wonder if they were just like session musicians, or it was like the 2002 equivalent of like Sean Paul and Pitbull.
Okay.
Like they got in the hottest artists of 2002 to do those covers.
Oh, very good, yeah. I should have mentioned this before, but Scrappy-Doo wasn't originally supposed to be the villain. It was going to be Old Man Smithers. The Lunar Ghost was going to be revealed. But I don't think that would have been
any
better, because it's like, remember that guy from earlier?
He did it again.
That exact thing, except this time he built an island for some reason. Uh-huh. Yeah. So you also mentioned how there was that kind of that version, a little bit edgier.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be PG-13. I got some more things that were supposed to be in it.
Okay.
I'm going to get a lot of flack for saying I don't like this crap
I think
film.
You might be.
Yeah, well, good.
I mean, I didn't love it, and I certainly, I doubt I would have gone and watched this on my own. But I felt there was, for me, there was enough in it to warrant the watch, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, well, I also feel like it could have been much greater, especially if they'd gone with this angle. For people who have never seen it, you should probably track down Mystery Team, which is sort of an original take of kid mystery solvers who grew up and never quite outgrew that.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of their world did, and it's got Derek Comedy, which includes Donald Glover and two other people whose names escape me right now.
But who are also great, yeah.
Yes.
So the PG-13 version was going to be Shaggy was going to be a stoner, which is always kind of implied
things. But in this one, instead, he just falls for a woman named Mary Jane.
That's right.
Played by Australia's own Isla Fisher.
So she's got a ghost in her or something, or a monster.
Yes.
And there's a bit where you see kind of under her face.
Yes, yes, yes.
So when this soul gets pulled out of them and the monster gets in, there's a monster wearing it like a skin or what?
Yep. Okay. You are correct.
Okay.
This Isla Fisher's first...
Maybe major Hollywood role. She was coming off the back of Home and Away in Australia.
Yeah.
And well, so this was filmed in Australia as well, which makes sense.
I didn't recognise many other Australian actors except for Michaela Bannis from McLeod's Daughters.
Of course.
Who plays Carol, the woman who lifts up a man and hurls him off a pier or something.
Terrific. Velma and Daphne also had a side relationship.
Oh, hello.
Yeah. And James Gunn also confirmed the original cut got an R rating, and they had to use CGI to cover cleavage.
Okay.
Which I did not notice in this film, but bend or quick scan. You don't have to do that.
He did it already. He did it the first pass. Don't worry about it.
But again, look, I can't fault this.
Mm-hmm.
I say I hate it.
Yes.
It's just not for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's okay, because you don't have to, not everything is for you.
But that's what I thought also while watching it. Who is it for? Because I guess it's for people who remember the cartoon,
yeah,
but are okay watching kind of a middling movie that pokes a little bit of fun at it, but not a lot.
Okay, sure.
Like if it leaned heavier into it, like if it was a Brady Bunch.
Yeah, sure,
you know,
okay.
Where they live, like I think maybe it would have worked a little better if they lived in a world where there was a relatively normal world and they're still unmasking villains and people like... Why are you doing this? Why do you all drive around in a van together?
See, that's what I think. That is more interesting, because the idea that it's just like, it's just real monsters at the end. And it's like a gem or a curse or whatever it's supposed to be. It's like, okay.
Sure.
I just don't think that's as interesting. Or if you're going to do that, go all out on being real monsters. And they're all just completely baffled by it.
Yeah. And people being murdered.
People being murdered.
Yeah, but I think, again, I think this is a case of instructions were sent from above, make it a movie like this.
Yeah.
And once you start it in motion and sets are being built and CGI monsters are being created, that's it. You know, I'm sure it's hard to make a left turn in the middle of production and go,
yeah,
you know, let's make this darker or what have you.
You could very well be right. I got one more thing to mention before I've got some alternate titles, which I think everybody is going to enjoy.
Have you invented these alternate titles?
We'll find out, won't we?
Oh, my goodness.
Freddie Prinze Jr. shaved his head because of the bleach. He's like, this is ruined and I can't fix this. Yeah. That's absolute commitment to that, to that look.
Uh-huh.
Apparently he hated the ascot, but quite frankly, I think everybody looks great in their little outfits.
He has two.
He's got two looks, yeah. First one's a wig.
That is a wig. Yeah. Okay, right. Why not give him a wig for the second look?
Because he's changed, Mason.
Good point.
He's on a book tour. Oh,
I get it.
It also had a budget of $84 million, but it made $275 million, warranting the sequel, which we'll come back to next week.
But
you know what I say, Mason?
What's
more
that?
Like Scooby-Poo, more like Scooby-Boo, more like Scooby-Don't, more like Scooby-Loo, as in toilet with a big poo in it. More like Scooby-Shoe, but a shoe that I don't like. I hate it.
Perhaps doesn't fit you.
Yeah, that's right. Even if it does, I don't like
it. You don't like it. Okay, right. Yeah,
not for me.
How about this is an alternate title. Scooby-Doo, a movie I quite enjoyed.
Okay. To be honest, having watched...
Hyphen Nick Mason.
Having gone into this...
Yes.
I'd like to know if people would watch it now, what they think of it, if they've never seen it. Not something you saw as a kid, you watch it now, what do you think of it?
Yeah.
And the other thing is, I think I might actually enjoy the second one more because I know exactly what this is.
Oh, yeah, that's true, it. Yeah.
Or your expectations have been lowered. I'll just kind of let it wash over me a little bit more, right, you know what right. I mean?
Also, yeah. You get a double shot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer alums because Seth Green is in the next one.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
And that's all I want in my life. Anyways, it's been Caravan of Garbage. Believe it or not, but believe it, we do this every week, and the topics are decided by you, some of them.
I'm mostly Scooby-Doo.
For now, we'll do all the
spin-offs. Daphne and Velma spin-off.
Yeah.
We'll do Scoob. I don't want to. I'll do it, though. There's some prequels, apparently.
Well, we can talk. Let's talk about that now. So I think the prequel films exist because the second one didn't do as well. And also, if they did them following on, that dog would eventually die, so they got to go back, don't they?
Your dead dog hypothesis.
Exactly.
You brought that to the end of the video as well, just in case people have forgotten it. You're like, what if a sad old man had a dog that was his best friend and maybe his only friend, and then the dog died?
Yeah.
Cool.
What if?
Sad guy.
You want to watch that movie?
Maybe you get another dog.
Get a different dog.
But he wouldn't be a magic dog, would it?
Is he magic? Is he cursed? Is he even a dog?
If anything, it's a curse, yeah. Well, we never see any other dogs. Maybe every dog
that's a good point.
In the universe is a talking dog.
Theories, let us know. Well, the only other dog we see, yeah, exactly.
Scrappy. Also magic, yeah.
If you have theory, what is it? Let us know.
What's your theory? What's your dog theory?
Also, of course, we have a podcast called The Weekly Planet where we talk movies and comics and TV shows that comes out every Monday morning. It's like this. For good or ill.
I thought you were throwing to a clip.
No.
Okay.
That's just me saying this is what this is.
It is kind of like this, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Often there's less focus, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But that's the video, and we'll see you next week, I guess.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
At Wikipedia Brown, Nick Mason, Twitter.
That's me.
And Mr. Sunday Movies, Twitters.
Nice.
All right, goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.